Here in Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Two words right in the beginning of that. Hold fast. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, "I'm going to cling." Now, there's not a lot of people that make professions in Christ that hold fast. A lot of you have heard me talk about the Ledbetters out in Wichita. And their dad was a great man, Jack Ledbetter. He's been in heaven for many years. And Jack used to preach. And in that large church that he was blessed to pastor, he had all types of people just like we have. And some of those people, you know, they just didn't seem to hold fast to their profession. And one night Jack was up preaching and he said, "You know what? I think that I could hang by the neck longer than a lot of you hang in there with God." It might have been a hillbilly way of saying it, but he was right in what he said in a sense of the word. We constantly see people that make professions of faith. They come forward, they profess their faith in the Lord, but yet when it comes time to serve the Lord in the heat of the battle, 3 months later, 6 months later, 6 years later, you look around and you wonder where they're at. Hold fast. The word "hold fast" means to keep firm possession of, or to keep securely, or to cling, to hold on to. Now, we don't hear a lot about this because somehow we've gotten another side that's come along and they say, "Well, you're taking away from God's power when you talk about holding on or holding fast or clinging." But you don't diminish God's power by clinging. See, holding fast comes for two reasons. Number one is out of fear. For example, you're falling over the edge of the cliff and you have hold of somebody's hand and you're holding as tight as you can, cling to that hand because you know that life is dependent on it. And I think a lot of times when we talk about holding fast, people oftentimes criticize us because they feel like that we're in constant fear. Now, look at me. I'm totally secure in God's ability and saving grace, and I have no doubt whatsoever God will do just what He said to do. But when you talk about holding fast, it's not all out of fear that refers to. When you see somebody that you dearly love, there is nothing quite like embracing that person and clinging to that person because the one that you love is there in front of you. To me, there's nothing greater in my life than when my grandson runs up and puts his arms around me and holds on as tight as he can. A few weeks ago at the end of service, there was a long line of people waiting to see me, and patiently he was dancing around and finally got up to me, and when he wrapped his arms around me, he just clung to me for about 5 minutes while I was talking to others. And finally there was a brief pause and he turned loose just long enough to get in my face and say, "Poppy, I sure do love you." And there is nothing in anybody's life like knowing someone loves you enough to cling to you. When I talk about holding fast to the Lord, I'm not holding fast because of what I'm afraid I'm going to lose out on. Sometimes I'm holding fast because I sure do love Him. And there's nothing quite like the embrace that we have when we cling to Christ to say, "I'm going to hold on to you no matter what, because I love you more than anything in this world. And therefore, securely, I hold on to you because you have blessed me and you are the love of my life, and I'm going to cling no matter what." If you were to make a trip down to the seashore tonight and look on the rocks as the waves beat against them, if you look closely, there would be a little shelled animal Very seldom is it over 2 or 3 inches in height. Maybe 3 inches in diameter at the most. Looks almost like a snail or a mollusk. But when you look closer, you realize it blends into the rock. Almost like it's part of the rock formation. It's a little animal that's known as the limpet. And the limpet is known for one thing in their life, and that is their ability to cling. They cling to that rock. A limpet, according to the dictionary, means, as defined by Webster Dictionary, one that clings tenaciously to someone or something. They have that ability to hold on. They don't know a lot of things. They're not a brilliant creature of God's creation, but they know how to do one thing and do it well, and that is hold fast. They know how to hold fast. They know how to cling. C.H. Spurgeon one time looked at those animals and he penned these words, those little creatures that we call the limpet. He said, our little friend the limpet does not know much, but he clings. He cannot tell us much about what he's even clinging to. It is not acquainted with the geological formation of the rock, but he clings anyway. He's found something to cling to. And with the little bit of knowledge that he has, he uses it to cling to the rock for his salvation. It is the limpet's life to cling. He's saying the limpet doesn't know much, but it knows how to cling. The limpet doesn't do much, but it knows how to cling. The limpet doesn't have a lot of abilities, but it knows how to cling. Let me tell you something. You don't have to know everything there is in the Bible. You know everything if you know how to cling. You may not go to the four corners of the earth to spread the word of God, but if you know how to cling, that means more than anything in this world. You may not impact others with your great knowledge or your great abilities, but you better know how to cling. You better know how to hold on when the storm comes. You better know that your salvation is in the rock. Jesus Christ, the rock that we sing about tonight, that even when my heart is overwhelmed, the psalmist said, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So the limpet doesn't know a lot of things, but I think it knows three things for sure. Number one, it knows how to hold fast. Have you ever thought about if people, just the people here in this church that have made professions of faith, if they'd all show up at one time, how much with this building that we have, how much inadequacy we'd have in seating all of the people if they would come? Why is that? People don't know how to hold fast. How does the limpet cling like that? Well, there's several things. One thing is, he cuts a groove in the rock that is the exact same size and shape as his shell. He knows that he has to find a place on that rock where that he can attach himself to that rock. You need to understand that God is not so concerned about what you merely are doing and the motions you're going through. You better have a relationship that allows you to attach yourself to Jesus Christ. Some of those limpets live vertically on the rock. Others live horizontally on the rock. But whether they live upright or whether they live flat, they better know how to cling. They need moisture. They can't move on a dry rock. They have to have moisture. There's no way that they can cling without that moisture. In fact, the moisture is so significant that even when the tide goes down and they're exposed, they can't move when the rock is dry. I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying. You're not going much in a forward direction if your life is dry spiritually. You're probably going to stay put. But what they do is they take this moisture into their shell and they hold that moisture inside of their shell until it creates a suction to the rock that they can cling to that rock. The taller the shell, the more moisture that comes in, and the stronger they cling. The higher the shell, the higher on the rock they can go. If they don't have a very tall shell and they don't have much moisture, then when the tide goes down, they're exposed longer, and if they dry out, they lose their suction and the ability to cling. You say, well, what's that a picture of? That is a picture of the Word of God. As we take in the Word of God into our life, you're not going to go very far if you're not going standing on the Word. And by the way, you're not going to last very long if there's not much of the Word of God inside your shell. You better put the Word of God inside of you if you expect to stand up against the storms and the winds that batter you in this life. You need the Word of God. You need to know what it says. You need to believe it. You need to trust it. The only way you're going to cling in the face of all of it is to know what the Word of God says. Another thing, they lived their whole life on the rock. See, we have too many part-time Christians in the world today. They are a Christian when it's convenient to be a Christian. They're a Christian when it doesn't crimp their lifestyle. They're a Christian when there's no sacrifice involved. But the truth of the matter is, we all need to learn how to cling. They know how to hold fast. The second thing is, they know how to heed warnings. You know, the only way they can get a limpet off the rock is if they sneak up on the limpet and take a big stick and hit it as hard as they can. They might knock it loose. But if they knock it loose, all the other limpets on that rock clamp even tighter. They heed the warning when the club hits. They know what to do. And that is, there's someone around that means me harm. So when harm is near, I'm going to hold on to the rock tighter than I've ever held before. In fact, they grip that rock so much. Have you ever heard the phrase of somebody having a death grip? You know where that phrase came from? From the limpet. Because they will grip the rock so much. When they're worn, they grip the rock so much that the only way to get them off the rock, you have to do one of two things. You have to kill it, or you have to beat the rock, a piece of the rock away, with the limpet. Either way, it's not going anywhere without being attached to the rock. I wish people would get a death grip on Jesus Christ and say, I'm not letting go of the Lord. I'm holding fast. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I've made my mind up. I'm going to hold on to Jesus no matter what. Once they're warned, you either have to kill them or you have to beat off the rock. Well, you can't beat off a piece of Christ. You can't break Him apart. That's why they cling to the rock. Something else I realized. There's a little species of limpet called the keyhole limpet. The limpet, the keyhole limpet, found out quick, really has one enemy that it worries about more than anything. It's a starfish. Starfish will attack the limpet. And a keyhole limpet builds a relationship with a special type of worm. It invites the worm to live under its shell. So the worm takes up residence inside the shell of the limpet. I'm fixing to get blessed. I know where I'm going. When the starfish attacks the limpet, what it does is it attaches itself to the rock and tries to pry loose the grip of the limpet. And it smothers it out. But that worm that the limpet takes in, once a starfish attacks it, will come out of the keyhole, and that worm has a gift. It zaps the starfish. And when it zaps the starfish has to flee. I thought of Psalm 22:6, where Christ said, I am a worm. And do you know something? If you take him inside your shell, when the devil wraps his big ugly arms around you,
Well, glory to God. He'll find a way to come out and zap the devil every time. He'll overcome our enemies for us. But you've got to have a relationship with that one that died on Calvary. You've got to let him come in and live inside of you and say, listen, I know there's enemies out there, but no matter what the enemy is, I know someone that has the power to overcome the enemy every time. I know someone that is greater than my ability, someone that has more strength, someone that knows exactly what it will take to overcome the enemy, and I'm going to have a relationship with him. He knows how to hold fast. He knows how to heed the warnings. I wish people would just heed the warning. You know, you go to do something in life, and I don't know what you're expecting. If you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're expecting. Are you expecting, when you start to make wrong moves in your life and make mistakes, are you expecting God to strike you with a bolt of lightning to stop you? That's not how it works. It starts with just a gentle thought planted inside your mind. You start to take a job, and you say to yourself, I've got a choice of two jobs that I can take. One job would hinder me from being in church on Sunday and Wednesday. The other job, I make a dollar less an hour, but I get to be in church on Sunday and Wednesday. The gentle thought is this. What you lose spiritually is not worth a dollar an hour more. But then you'll start looking around and you'll say, well, I've got this added expense and that added expense. And before long, you'll find a way to justify it. There's nothing wrong with owning boats and campers. And there's nothing wrong with having extra things in life until it keeps you out of church regularly. You got 6 days a week to golf. You don't need to be doing it Sunday morning, Sunday night. You got 6 days a week that you can fish in. You don't need to be doing it on Sunday. You need to be here. You say, well, I want to go fishing. Do it between Sunday morning, Sunday night, and get back for church. Start with a gentle thought. But then, you'll figure a way to override it. We all need rest. We all need a break. I know we do. But what it is, what seems so innocent, pretty soon starts to control your life. You know, I want to say this, and I hope you don't get upset with me. I need to apologize to some of you because I thought I was praying for blessings in your life and the blessing has become a curse. You still love me, don't you? No, I don't mean to be hard on you. I've got to be honest as your pastor. Because you get the blessing and then the blessing keeps you from being in church faithfully as you were before. And then spiritually, I see you start to slide. There's people in here tonight that I know, bless your heart, you're so tired that you're sitting back there right now and you're looking at me and all you hear, blah, 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 blah. You're so tired you can't even think. But tomorrow morning when you get up at 4 o'clock, the devil will never be able to whisper in your ear, you weren't at church last night. When you get in trouble and you need to call out to God, the devil will never be able to say to you, well, why should God do anything for you? You didn't go when you could go. He'll never be able to use that against you. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't in your life pursue things that hinder the way you hold on to God. We're better off to be without some things as to let it separate us in our relationship to the Lord. We ought to say, Lord, I need you more than I need anything in this world. The truth of the matter is, come this week, I could face a terrible crisis in my life, and I'm so glad that I don't have to get right with God before I call on God. But I can call out immediately and say, Lord, I need your help. And God will say, I'm right here with you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And we can call out to the Lord, and the Lord will say, you take care of your life. I'll take care of the devil. Hello. People say, I need a job. They get the job. then they don't come to church. People say, I need out of a jam. They get out of the jam and they forget God. You know what I have noticed? Maybe it's just me, but as a pastor, I'm preaching my heart to you tonight. I have noticed those that God blesses the most sometimes are also the most forgetful of those blessings. I really think that if my life was on the line and God spared me in a miraculous way, I don't see how that I could be so unfaithful to God and His Word and to His people. The greater that God blesses us, you've got to understand to whom much is given, much is required. God didn't bless you to tell your testimony one time and sit down and write it out till you get home to heaven. God blessed you in an effort that you'd say, Lord, I loved you before, but I love you so much more now. He knows how to hold fast. He knows how to heed the warning. And here's the final thing. He knows how to head home. They're amazed at this. The limpet can't travel very far, but it seems like a great distance to the limpet. But no matter where it roams, you know, the rocks get wet when the tide comes in, so it can go out a little bit to find food. But it knows the exact time when the rock will dry out. And it has to be back on with moisture locked in before the rock gets dry because it can't move on a dry rock. Do you remember that? Hey, you better be careful wandering out there. You might get stuck and not get back. Don't ever look at people that have returned and look at certain people that have been prodigals and say, oh, well, they made it back. I'll go out and do that and I'll make it back too. You might get stuck out there. But it knows how to find its way home. And the amazing thing about this is the limpet doesn't have any eyes. It can't see. How does it know to come back home? It comes back, it returns to the exact same spot. It's cut a groove out that its shell fits in. If it don't get where that groove is cut, it can't make suction. It will dry out and it will die. If it doesn't get back to the place to hold fast, it could die. How does it know to do it? Well, I read a lot of things. One group seems to think it leaves a mucus trail behind. The only problem with that is it's out wandering. The only time it can go is when the rock is wet, and that means the tide is up most generally. And the problem with that is the waves crashing against it would wash the mucus away. I agree with what others have said. Inside of that creature that God has made, God has given it a special GPS system. And that system tells it, it's like a homing device, tells it where it's at on the rock. And when it gets to the exact spot, it knows, here's where I cling. I want to tell you this. When you're saved, glory to God. I don't think if you've really been saved, if you've really hit the rock, I don't think you get over when you hit the rock. And when you hit the rock, I think God gives us a GPS, a God positioning system that guides us back over and over again to the day that the Lord set us free, brought us out of the miry clay, put our feet on the solid rock, and that's home to us. And no matter where we roam and where we go, we're always coming back to that time when the devil says you don't have anything. You go right back to that place on the rock and say, wait a minute, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I know that the Lord took my sin away. I know that God saved my soul. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm telling you, God puts the direction inside of us. The blessed Holy Spirit brings us back time and time and time again to the day we landed on the rock. Most people that become disgruntled in a church and leave a church, especially a church of this nature, most of you, if you are living in misery and you find your life full of complaints more than praise, I'll tell you what your problem is. You got stuck out there on a dry rock. You got too far from your experience. It worries me. Think of me what you want, but it worries me when people can't tell you when they were saved. I'm not talking about a date on your watch. I'm not saying that you can look and say, well, yeah, it was May the 15th or it was April the 13th. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the experience. When they cannot tell you of a time that a change took place in their life. Glory to God. The only time that a limpet is in danger in its life is when they don't cling to the rock. And the only way that they can't cling to the rock is they get too far away from home. And when you get too far away from the place that you were born into the family of God and too far away from that experience, I don't care if you've told it 100 times, if you relive it in your life 100 times over every day, you go back and say, I know what I was before I met Christ and I know what I am now, and I may not always be what I ought to be, but I know the Lord saved me and I know the Lord has taken my sin away and I know that I was born again. I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If you get too far from that experience, you'll lose your ability to cling. And then you grab hold of whatever's there. Power, positions, money, titles. But in your soul, you'll be miserable. The sweetness will leave. Uncle Bud Robinson described it this way. He described it in his life as though was a place where the bees would buzz and the birds would sing and the breeze would blow. Uncle Bud said one time he mistreated a man and spoke harshly to him. Said he went home to pray that night and the bees stopped buzzing and the birds stopped singing. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I have to make my wrongs right. See, some of you want to treat people any way you want to treat them and then just get friendly with them and think they're going to forget about all that. Some of you men want to talk to your wife like they're a dog and then send them a bunch of flowers and hope that makes up for everything bad that you said. Boy, I'm getting strange looks now. Well, there's nothing wrong with sending your wife flowers. But I tell you what, she'll respect you a lot more if you do wrong, if you look her in the eye and say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. If we really want to see revival come to this nation again, you better buckle down and hold tight. Because you haven't seen anything like the storm clouds that's on the horizon. Immorality is going to explode like an atomic bomb in this nation. Ungodliness is going to come in like you've never seen before. You say, well, preacher, why is all that happening? We're getting near the coming of the Lord. And as we get near the coming of the Lord, the forces of evil against good will get harder and harder to withstand. And there'll be more struggles in your life than what you've ever seen before. And you say, why, preacher, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go along life the way it is. And then when the Lord comes and the church is raptured out, I'll just refuse the mark of the beast and I'll die as a martyr for Christ and I'll make it into heaven that way. Hey, let me tell you something. I doubt seriously if we can't get you to stay for Sunday school, I doubt seriously if you're going to be martyred for the cause of Christ. If we can't get you to come to church 3 times a week, I doubt seriously that you're going to die for the cause of Christ. But I tell you, we've got to make up our mind. We're going to have to stand against some things in this day and in this age. And we're going to have to cling to the Word and cling to the cross and cling to our salvation greater than we've ever clung before. And I don't know what your determination is, but as for me, I've decided I'm going to cling. It's worth holding on to God. It's worth holding fast. If the whole world gives up on old time religion, I'm going to cling. If the whole world no longer wants to sing His praises, I'm going to cling. If nobody wants to talk about His blood, I'm going to cling. If nobody wants to preach about holiness, I'm going to cling. If nobody wants to win souls, I'm going to cling. If the Antichrist rises up and tells me it's all in vain, I'm going to say, I'm going to cling. When sickness wrecks my body, I'm going to cling. When trouble comes, I'm going to cling. When the money is low, I'm going to cling. I'm telling you, you've got to hold fast to your profession of faith. The one thing that everybody can do. Everybody can't sing. Trust me, some of you, I don't want to hear you sing. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach. Everybody can't do certain things. But there's one thing every believer in here can do. And that's hold fast the profession of our faith. Cling. Cling. Buckle down. Hold on tight. The ride's going to be rough. But may I remind you, my GPS says we're headed home. We're on the right track. We're going where He wants us to be. So keep our eyes on Him and keep our life pure. And God says, I'll bless you now, but I'll bless you greater in the end. I'm going to cling.